Okay, this is the Yukon Koyukuk Biographical Sketch Project, and it's May 15, 1984. We're in Fairbanks, Alaska at the Tanana Chief's Patient Hostel, and with me tonight are Johnson Moses and Bertha Moses, and my name is Wendy Arendale. And I thought maybe we might start out with you, Johnson, if you don't mind, and just have you tell us a little bit about what are some of the first early things you remember as a little boy.
Yeah, okay. The first thing I start to remember when I was small is we used to live in camp almost year-round. And first thing I start to remember is hauling boat in the spring and on the crest going to spring camp. I don't even remember when we took off from the village, but out along the way, I just started to remember that I was inside the boat. People was following the boat with dogs, bunch of dogs, and river with, on the Yukon sleigh, and I was sitting inside the boat, and I was kind of scared. And that's the first thing I remember, and I still remember the spring camp where we stayed that spring, but I never remember how we get out of there and back to village again. I just forget again from there. And that's how they used to haul, go to spring camp, you know, all by dog team.
Mm-hmm.
And all the boats in Alakaka, in the village,
mm-hmm.
in the fall they pull them out of the river, put them kind of away from the river, you know, mm-hmm. during the winter. And soon as spring come around, the 1st of April, they take the boat out, and kind of dry it out and put it on 2 Yukon sleigh and haul it to the spring camp.
Mm-hmm.
Every spring while we were growing up. That's the only way that our parents make living, you know,
mm-hmm.
living out of the land, trapping and hunting. So while I was growing, I never had a chance to go to school that much. I went to school just a little, but it didn't do me any good to learn. Lots. But we kind of have hard time while we was growing, I thought, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there was not that many animals, there was hardly any moose around. There was caribou around during the winter, but not very long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
There was few moose around.
Mm-hmm.
Just now and then somebody could kill one moose.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no moose around. Only way they make a living was trapping muskrat and hunting. I think what they do most of the time to make a living was snare rabbit and ptarmigan.
Mm-hmm.
Almost year round they used to snare rabbit in the summer too,
mm-hmm.
winter and summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only kind of meat they would get, you know,
mm-hmm.
fresh meat. So then after I was about 13 years old, and my grandparents, an old man raised me, you know, after my mother gave me away while I was 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My two older brothers died in 1925, just one day after each other, some kind of flu come around.
Mm.
I was 1 year old, and my real mother thought I was going to die too, so she just gave me away to an old couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And later on, the old lady died too, so the old man, his daughter, he gave his daughter raised me next till I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was my real parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was 13 years old and they told me that my own parents different place. And that was kind of funny for me while I was growing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they tell me long ago, I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
But I
mm-hmm.
guess that was okay, you know, because my real mother was losing too much kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So old man raised me. This old man, he was staying in camp most of the time, all the time. His name was Pick William. And he raised another boy from way back. He's way older than me, William. He's about 8 years older than me. He raised that one first, him and his wife, while his wife was living. So when I was 13 years old, he got me back then. So he used to tell me all kinds of story that so I wouldn't make a mistake in my lifetime. But first people always make mistakes all the time. But anyway, he talked with me since I started to stay with him 13 years old. He told me so much story. I'll go into that a little later, and I'll have to get Bertha to say something to under him.
Okay. Before we leave you, let me just ask a couple questions. Do you know the names of your original parents, your mother and your father?
Yes. My real parents was Billy Berkman and Sisa.
Oh, Berkman. Okay. Yes. Do you want to put their native names on the tape?
On the tape?
Mm-hmm.
I know my mother's native name, that's Alvarado. And I can't remember my real dad's name.
It's up to you whether you want to put them on the tape or not.
Yeah.
And then who was Big William's daughter who you lived with for a while?
Lucy. Lucy and Henry.
Lucy and Henry.
Yeah. That was my mother's brother, Henry Moses. My mother's brother. That's the one raised me. Henry Moses' name was Gail Dewey, and Lucy was South National.
I think it's really important to have those native names as well as
really,
the
English
names, because I think that's important for the kids to hear too. Well, let's put that microphone on Bertha for a moment.
Okay.
I'm going to stop this one. Bertha, can you tell us what you remember first from being a little girl?
Okay, the first time I remember is the first thing I ever remember is when my mother was having a baby, and I remember it was in the winter time, and my uncle James and his family were just living right next door to us, and I don't know who was there, if there was any nurse or the midwife. Only I remember I wanted to go over real bad, and they keep telling us to go back over to my uncle's house. And then when after a while my auntie, her name was Esther, came back over, and she said it's okay for us kids to go home now. And I think it was quite late, and when we got home we saw we had a new little sister. And the next day or that night, I can't remember when, I remember we didn't have very much of baby tubs or fancy tubs in those days. And they used to make baby tub out of a gas can, those 5 gallon cans. They cut it in half and then make a little baby tub. That used to be the traveling tub for the baby too. And I remember them giving her a bath on it. Then I kind of forget again after that, and my real early memories is I start staying with my grandparents, and my grandparents, their names were Peter Nichtoon. His Eskimo name was Nichtoon, and my grandmother's name was Dickajock. And I remember, I don't know, remember us traveling to their fish camp. It was summertime. And I remember we get to the fish camp, and my grandmother and I picked some blueberries, and they set fish net, and then we went to bed. And it was really, we were all alone there, and it was really lonely because I had a lot of sisters and a brother. Then I don't remember much, but I always remember they check the next day and we eat blueberries and fresh fish. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember most of every time we get to that camp. And we would stay in a little tent, about 8x10 tent, but they usually make it a little longer and a little wider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason they used to have 8x10 tent was because it was cheaper than a 10x12. So then they buy a few yards of material and just make it a little bit longer. A lot of people used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They used to live in the tent in the summertime. And I think that was really important because we get fresh air all summer. And we live in the tent in the summertime. In the wintertime, everybody had log houses, but my grandparents used to have a house built with logs and sod, but it was different than everybody else's house. My grandpa used to build one every 3 or 4 years. I remember sitting by the stove in the evening, and my grandmother used to tell stories. She was a good storyteller. She would tell me stories, and I would sit by the stove in the evening and look across the river, and I would see the, while she's telling me story, and she said she had a daughter in Tanana, she's saying, way over other side the big river, she would say, way over in the big river, and she's saying Tanana. And I would look across the river, and I look at the hills across there, and I think, looks like I see my auntie sitting way over there, and mm-hmm. it was just the hills. Mm-hmm. After I got older, I found out I was just imagining. And I would get sleepy right by the stove and then go to sleep. That's one of my earliest memories. And from then on, I remember a lot of things. After I got a little bit older, I would sit and remember what year we stay in, which spring camp we stay in, what year, on till I get older. I remember we never stay in the same place all year round. Like in the right after New Year, we would go to a winter camp where they snare rabbits and hunt ptarmigan and hunt caribou, and then we would stay there till April. A long ways. I had 6 sisters and 3 brothers, and we were a big family. And that's why I used to stay with my grandmother sometimes, because my grandparents were old and they needed, I guess my grandmother needed a companion, and then I started staying with them. I stayed with them a while and go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
All those years I was growing up. And my grandmother used to tell me stories. Some of them are just like training, just like training about right and wrong. Some of the things she tell me ever since I was small was never get anything that don't belong to you. She said, that's not nice. And she would tell me stories about years ago when some young children start stealing, and then she said their hands would be like, their hands is just, it's really like a sickness. She said their hands would be like, it's just itching to go and steal that something from somebody or someplace. And when it just get to be like that, and she said, that's not good. And another thing she used to tell us is don't laugh at people, or don't give them names that we think is not nice, or if they were limping, or if they had there's something wrong, some deformity in their body,
mm-hmm.
do not call them a limper or something like that, you know, like what is wrong with them. And that's one of the things he used to tell us. And another thing he used to teach us about is about how to take care of food. And see, tell story about we should respect everything we get and be thankful for what we got all the time. She said when she was before her time, she probably was born around 1860 or somewhere around there,
mm-hmm.
maybe before 1860 even. And before her time, she said they used to have a lot of famine. And she say, she would, when we would be eating this, eating fish, we would talk about the part right next to the head, and she say, this is the part a big family used to get when everybody stopped to share one fish when they're short of food. And I used to think, I come from a big family, and that probably would be the part they would give us, and I would look at that part, and it would look awfully small to go around all of us. And she told me a lot of stories. Maybe I'll go into the stories later on. And I could, I always want to put things down in tape, but I never had the patience to sit down and do it.
Well, maybe we can help you with that now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did we get your parents' names?
No. Okay. My mother's name was Cora, and her Eskimo name was Angnajack. And my dad's name is, my mother died in 1942. My dad is still living. He's 83 years old. His name is Oscar, and his Eskimo name is Kayak. My grandparents come from over Kobuk River,
mm.
both sides. I guess somewhere around just before the turn of the century, they moved over to around Alatna River.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, that's what the Kobuk people used to do. They used to, in winter time, they used to walk over to around head of what they call John River.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would meet with some people from around the Kaikuk River, and they would live on moose meat for a while, and then they, in the springtime, they live on all kinds of birds and whatever they could get, and then come down the John River and go all the way down to mouth of Hawk River sometime that summer.
Mm-hmm.
Then go up the Hawk River, then make portage back over to Kobuk again.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they used to do that from Kobuk, over Kobuk they come over, and all the time they do that. And then I guess this one time, they didn't go back. That's how they live in Alatna.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Alatna.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up speaking Eskimo then?
Yes. My earliest memories is speaking Eskimo in very, very broken English.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way through while I was growing up, I speak two languages, except that I speak Eskimo the language the best. That's Inupiaq
mm-hmm.
language.
Mm-hmm.
But English was the amount of English we know was very little.
Mm-hmm.
We just know how to just make conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to school, and Alatna River, Aletna village is across of Alakakit.
Mm-hmm.
And in Alakakit is mostly the Athabascans. And while we're going to school, we learn words, Athabascan words.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned a lot of Athabascan words. Then after we got married, then I learned to understand the Athabascan much better.
So you really at least have some knowledge of three languages,
mm-hmm.
then?
I can speak Athabascan in my own Inupiaq language, English. I always think I don't talk very good English because I know other languages.
Uh-huh.
Then I think, why should I want to talk real good English and like real sophisticated English? If I know other languages, then I just forget about it and I just talk the way I feel comfortable talking. I don't care what other people think or how I sound or how I talk.
I think you sound just fine. I wouldn't worry about it. I have a lot of admiration for people who can learn another language. I spent some time trying to learn Inupiaq.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard language.
Yeah.
And I guess mm-hmm. Koyukon isn't easy either.
No. You just have to live around them. I wish we had tried to talk with each other in one of our languages when we first got married. Maybe then our children would talk one of our languages.
Mm-hmm.
Our children knows words from both sides, just
mm-hmm.
words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. That's really good. Did we get, yes, we got both of your parents' names and we got their Inupiaq names.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back to the early memories of yours, Johnson, that we were talking about before. Do you know where you were or where you were going when you first remember that sled ride in the boat?
Yes, it was on Kaikuk River going up to Shot Fork.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Shot Fork, just a little ways, the spring camp called Natodnalot, kind of Horseshoe Lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first spring camp I remember. And I never speak English till I was 16 years old, because I grew up with this old man.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody to talk English with.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talked Athabascan, Indian language, and that's all I know till I was 16 years old. And every now and then we come to town and my cousins start talking English a little because they were going to school, you know, they start talk English just a little bit. They were not much too, but
mm-hmm.
they talk English in a way, some
mm-hmm.
words, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really like white people now, you know. So I try talk English and they used to laugh at me, even
uh-huh.
my brothers, you know, because I would say she, you know, to man, she even. I thought it was the right way.
And uh-huh.
After a long time, I find out that was all woman's was she and man's was he, and all those things I know because. And then my grandpa, Vic William, who raised me, he used to tell me, he really wanted to teach me, so he knew he was getting old and he'd be gone sometime, and I guess I was kind of listening to him, so he knew I was going to try to tell some story someday.
Mm-hmm.
He even used to tell me while I was around 16 years old, and someday you're going to have children, he told me. Just 16 years old, I think, geez, I don't listen to him, you know, laughing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of funny for me, you know. But even someday you're going to get married, you're going to have children. And I'm telling you now, I want to teach you what is right and wrong
mm-hmm.
right now, because that's what our parents teach us to, is way back. He said, while he was growing up, he said his parents used to tell him, you know, because when I was growing up, now there was a lot of white people around our mm-hmm. village, and I don't know, people have girlfriends while they're young and everything, and you better kind of watch yourself, because you don't get mixed up with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cause trouble and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to get married, you get married. She's going to be your wife, and you're not going to have no problem. Don't bother people. That's what verse I said a while ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started telling that story to our kids while our kids was growing, but I don't think they remember. Sometimes I talk lots with them. So I let them, so they wouldn't get into trouble too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a good one, you know, if somebody could read this book someday. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that our old people teach us without school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was their experience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Important lessons.
Really, how to take care of food and everything. How to feed people, you know, let people go by with not even drink water or anything, you know, in your place.
Mm-hmm.
In our site, in Indian site, they live mostly in tent almost year round.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandpa, who raised me, Big William, while they were young, they used to have shot house, what they call shot house, they call them igloo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was their house. They had house all over the place, around Kaikuk River, mm-hmm. South Fork River,
mm-hmm.
Canoody Flat, all around.
Did he ever show you any of those old houses?
Yeah, I never see it, you know, but he told me the square
mm-hmm.
they were, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that sometimes people didn't go around places where people had lived before.
So yeah.
I understand.
That, so you know about that.
Yeah.
That's what they teach us when I was small.
Uh-huh.
That's Indian superstitious.
Maybe you should explain that a little more carefully.
Yeah.
I just mentioned it. It would be good for you to explain it on the tape.
Because I don't know, that's superstitious, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the Indians. But in a way, they tell us not to play with old place, you know, old town, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
what we call town or city now, you know,
or
village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't play around those places, because there's where they had igloos, there's kind of hole in them places, you know. We can't go around there.
Mm-hmm.
We stay out of those places.
Mm-hmm.
But they tell us where it is
mm-hmm.
and where the graveyard is.
Mm-hmm.
So I still know those places right now around South Fork River and Kaikuk,
mm-hmm.
part of Kaikuk River, and over towards Canoody Flat.
Did they give you a particular reason for staying away from those places?
They tell us if we bother those places sometime, it must be like they think you get sick, you know, if
mm-hmm.
you stay around those places. They think there's some kind of germs, you know, they never think it was germs, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you say we play around those places and somebody gets sick all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's all they told us about those old places and graveyard, even they keep us away from graveyard
mm-hmm.
because I think them days they never had deep graveyard, you know. So they don't want us to see those places.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did Big William ever describe to you how they built the semi-subterranean houses, the pit houses?
Yeah, he told me all about those shot houses, but I knew that try and make one or anything, or I'll stay lazy, you know. The only thing I learned from him was to set stick trap, what they call trip trap or something like
mm-hmm.
that, and that's the only one I learned how to
mm-hmm.
set from him.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back just a little bit and let me ask you, what year you were born? Do you know what year you were born?
I was born 1924.
Uh-huh. Okay. And were you born in Allakaket?
I was born in Allakaket.
So your brothers died right after you were born, basically.
A year later.
Yeah.
I was 1 year old.
Yeah. I know sometimes people don't like to mention the names of people who are no longer with us. But would you feel comfortable telling us what your brother's names were?
Yeah, one was Louis and one was, what was his name again? can remember the other cousin. Anyway, they were grown-up men.
Okay, so they were a lot older than
you. Yeah, and that year, Lisa, I don't know, a lot of people died in Alcacut that spring.
Mm-hmm.
This was in July 1925.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of flu come around.
So it wasn't just them, it was a lot of other people in Alcacut too.
Yeah, there was a lot of other people.
Do you know how that flu came in? Did anybody ever talk about, did somebody have the flu and come to Alcacut, or does anybody know how it got started there?
Nobody ever tell me what.
Mm-hmm.
All I know was 1925, Dishawan, some kind of sickness coming out. That's when a lot of people died.
Mm. So did you have any other brothers and sisters other than those two brothers?
There was our oldest brother was Edward Berkman. He died quite a while back.
Uh-huh.
He was born 1905.
Yeah. There was other brothers. Stephen was next one. Well, those two big men, you know, was next to Edward. Then Stephen, then there was Abraham, old man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was my real brother.
Uh-huh.
Then I was the next one. There was somewhere in between us, you know, Abraham and me.
Now,
but he died while they were just a baby.
Mm-hmm. Now, Abraham is Celia's uncle?
Celia's first cousin.
First cousin, okay.
Celia is my first cousin.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have to try to picture the family tree and get that together. Maybe a little later we can draw some of that on paper so it'll help me get it clearly in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, So you and Celia are first cousins.
First cousins.
Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because in talking with Joe and Celia, they've pointed out some of the places that they've, you know, some of the cabins and some of the other places that they lived in, where Abraham Old Man and Johnny Old Man traveled with them or lived in various places. So I'm finally beginning to get a little clearer picture.
Mm-hmm. Abraham Old Man was raised by other people, last name Old Man.
Mm-hmm.
That was their Johnson's name was Bergman.
Mm-hmm.
He used it as a middle name now. He got two last names.
So you're Johnson Bergman Moses.
Yeah, right.
Maybe, excuse me, Bertha, go ahead.
Tell her you got one brother living in Arizona.
Yeah, I was talking about my brothers, you know. So between Abraham and me, there was some more brothers, you know, but they died. We had two sisters, but they died while they were small.
Uh-huh.
There's only two sisters. And there's one, I have one younger brother than me, Limbrook Brookman. He's at Alcacut.
Okay.
He's got a big family too.
Uh-huh. How much younger is he than you?
He's 4 years younger.
Yeah.
You said that your mother gave you away because your two brothers died and she was afraid of losing you. By giving you away, did she think that you might have a better chance of surviving?
Yes, I think that's the way it was. Anyway, the people she gave me away to was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, I think about that old man.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a healing man.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like that. And they used to call him medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know that he was like a person who could heal people, you know, if we really know about it some days, you know, but I think he did a lot of that too.
I've also heard in other areas, not necessarily Keokuk River areas, but in other areas where when people lost a child, they would sometimes give the next child away, and that they believed that would help them in the future so that future children wouldn't die. And I wondered if that was part of the idea behind it.
Right, that's what they used to do. That my grandpa, the whole race me, told me about it. You know. That's why they always give some of their kids away long ago.
I think it sort of probably also was helpful to some of the older people to have a child around who could help. Was there some of that involved too?
I think, yeah, John. You know, when people are getting old long ago, they have nobody to, their kids are grown up,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes they got to have somebody to help them, and they think that really helped them out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they give them a little kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You really could even get old.
Mm-hmm. Maybe help keep them young a little too.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Bertha, when you were growing up as a person in Alatna, did you spend much time in Alatna, or did you spend most of your time out in camp?
Most of it was spent out in camp, and all the Alatna people used to go certain places, and everybody go to their own camp,
mm-hmm.
certain place they have camp. And once in a while, my parents used to go to the winter camp with somebody from over in Alcacut too, in winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And people have their own certain place to spend in this summer, fall, winter, and spring, certain place. And sometimes and there's lots of hard times when we were growing up, and then some families go together, like they sort of invite other families to stay with them. They tell them it's okay, they can go to their they can share whatever they got around their
mm-hmm.
their spot or their winter camp with them,
mm-hmm.
or in fish camp, spring camp, anything. But we spent like right after New Year's, we usually go to winter camp and then come back in April, come back for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everybody come back to the village,
mm-hmm.
in April. Then right after that, they would have potlatches and just gathering. Just the potlatch, I think, used to be to see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody coming from all directions, and just to see each other again. Then after they have potlatch and they dance sometime. For about a week, maybe. And in the meantime, everybody would be hauling load to spring camps. And some would be hauling up to South Fork, some up Alatna River. And most of them haul boats over to the Canoodle River.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not only boat, they haul all their all the food they think they'll need, and all their belongings,
mm-hmm.
pots and pans,
mm-hmm.
tents, stoves, guns and shells, traps for muskrat. And they spent the spring over there. They pick berries too in springtime after the snow melt. Usually it's the lobus cranberries.
The overwintered berries?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's good too in
mm-hmm.
springtime, good for jam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would trap muskrat. And years ago, they used to hunt beaver too in springtime, but
mm-hmm.
that was changed after. Then after they're all done, and they got everything, then they fishing too in the river,
mm-hmm.
here and there. After
what kind of fish?
Usually it's little white fish or some kind of fish. I don't know the name of it. anyway, it's just a reddish fish and it has.
Do you really know the Inupiaq or Koyukon
word?
Put that in.
Yeah, the Koyukon Athabascans call it Tunzoda.
Uh-huh.
And we call it Gavik Sog because it's kind of red, and Gavik Sog means reddish fish in Asipua, in Inupiaq. And then they would dry them in springtime when right after the ice go, and all over there's fish, and everybody would be so happy to eat fresh fish again. And then they would dry them too, and dry muskrats, dry beaver meat, dry caribou meat, everything. And then around first part of June, I think they would get on the boat and float down. It takes days, about 4 or 5 days to float. They float, and then when they then get back to Alakakit again in June, that's when everybody have potlatch and dances again, so happy to see each other. And before they get to one place, like some people are in one place already and they hear, they know they're nearing somebody's camp or the village, they used to shoot few times to let them know, to let each other know they're coming. And everybody would be real happy. They'll see from about before, about middle of April to around middle of June, 2 months, everybody don't see each other, sometimes longer. Then everybody would do all kinds of necessary work, like build boats and clean their yards, and women would be knitting knitting nets for the summer, and men would be making the floaters out of wood, and they do all kinds of things, getting ready to go to fish camp. Right after 4th of July, everybody would go some downriver, some upriver, and they didn't have no motors them days, so they used their dogs to line the boat upstream. And then we would get to fish camp probably about middle of July if you're going upriver. But for downriver, they usually try to go early because the fish comes earlier downriver. Then we would stay there till we would stay in one camp for part of the summer. Then in toward fall, when it's getting cold, and we would move further up the river to seine for frozen fish. Fish that will freeze now. Then after they put away all that fish here and there, you know, they have caches all over, and they put away dried fish, then fish to freeze, and berries, and then sometimes we go down to town, we call it town, you know, to Alakakit and Alatna. We would go down with boat. It would take us 2 or 3 days to row and paddle to get down there. And sometimes we stay there for the fall, wherever we freeze up. And then we would go to school. We would go to school up to right after New Year's again. Just same thing year after year.
Let's stop for a minute. I'm going to turn the tape over.